Do you know everybody's name in the congregation, including the children? Think about that for a moment. I've always thought that I wanted to know more about two individuals that are unnamed in the scriptures. I've always thought it would really be nice to know something about that other fellow on the road to Emmaus. And there's an unknown, or at least an unnamed lady, that I've always been curious about, and we're going to talk about her this morning. If you think you can name everyone in the congregation, just raise your hand. Every name. I see one hand go up, maybe two hands. You know, back, I'm told, 50, 60 years ago, it was a lot easier to know the names of everybody in the congregation where you might be attending than it is now, because everybody was known as either brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And that cut in half the number of names you had to know right off the bat. And who cared about the kids? But I am impressed that at least two or three of you feel comfortable that you can name everybody in the congregation. And Bill's getting ready to pass out the piece of paper to the two of you or the three of you to see if you can really do it. Today, people are known almost exclusively by their given names. But we, I think, have to return to this old custom in designating the wife of Peter. And we'll just call her Sister Peter. And that's that lady that I've always been curious about and that we're going to spend some time talking about this morning. Sister Peter. We have no clue as to what her personal name was. Peter's wife is only mentioned in connection with her mother-in-law being healed by Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. When Jesus came into Peter's house, Jesus saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. That's the first of the mentions of Peter's wife. That's in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. And the second time is in Paul's defense of his own right to be married. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, "Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas or Peter?" These are the only two for sure mentions that we have of Peter's wife. There is another possibility in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13 where Peter's statement may be referring to his wife when he wrote in his first epistle in 1 Peter 5 and verse 13, "She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you." But the identity of that woman is uncertain. So we'll set that aside and say there are really only two mentions in Scripture of Peter's wife, the lady that we'll call Sister Peter. Do you suppose that Peter's wife resented the fact that she is only mentioned in connection with her mother and her husband? What do you think? I somehow doubt it. In fact, it may be that Peter thought of his wife as he wrote in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart." The hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is very persuasive in the sight of God. Keep in mind, or it's very precious in the sight of God. Keep in mind this gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit does not resent being identified, I would suggest to you, primarily as the daughter of a serving mother or the wife of a godly husband. I think that as we ponder this question of who this lady was, that there's some qualities that we can glean that are implied regarding Sister Peter. First, according to Paul, she was a believer, or as the King James Version, Randy, puts it, a sister. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 5. I would suggest to you that's significant, because if she had not been a believer or a sister, it would surely have limited Peter's usefulness. She probably remained at home while Peter followed Jesus around the country. Remember in Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, Peter said to Jesus, "See, we have left all and followed you." We've left all and followed you. I would suggest to you that this does not mean that Peter totally abandoned his wife, Sister Peter. Contrary to the teachings of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 through 5. 1 Corinthians 7, 2 through 5. But because of immorality, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Peter traveled extensively with Jesus, and he must have had that arrangement with his wife so that he did not abandon her according to those things taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 through 5. She and Peter lived in Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, and that's the very town where Jesus lived. We find in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 13, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali." This would mean that even while accompanying Jesus, Peter would have often been in Capernaum with his wife, perhaps having Jesus as their guest. They went back to Capernaum, Peter to his wife and maybe his family, and maybe Jesus stayed with them as their guest. It does mean, however, there were times when she had to remain at home without him, perhaps caring for her mother or for their children. In doing this, I would suggest to you that she was serving Jesus as surely as those women who traveled with him and provided for him from their substance in Luke 8, verses 2 and 3. He traveled, and she stayed at home. But he came back to their home in Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. And maybe Jesus was their guest. And if Jesus were their guest, they would have been together in that city And after the church began, we find that Peter was an elder. He says in 1 Peter 5:1, "Therefore exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder." And one of the things that we know about elders, just to reinforce the fact that Peter was married, one of the qualifications of elder is that he is married, the husband of one wife, 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:6. Few people, I would suggest to you, outside of the family, whether it's an elder's family or any family, realize the strain that's placed on that individual's wife, particularly if they're in a position of authority, a preacher or an elder. And once again, she most certainly did not have her husband available to help her as often as other women had their husbands. Because remember, Peter traveled extensively with Jesus and the other apostles. Well, is it too much to suppose that when Peter, or that when Paul remained with Peter 15 days, remember in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 18, he went down into Arabia and he spent 3 years there, and he says, "Then 3 years later I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas," or Peter, "and stayed with him 15 days. Is it too much to suppose that she provided the hospitality expected of every Christian? 1 Peter 4:9, "Be hospitable to one another without complaint, and especially that of elders. An overseer then must be hospitable," 1 Timothy 3:2. When Paul was with them for this period of time, it seems likely that she was very active in being hospitable to Paul as he remained in their house in Capernaum. Think of the pain that she must have suffered when Herod had Peter arrested, intending to put him to death as he had James. Remember in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. "Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Pentecost to bring him out before the people." Here is Sister Peter seeing her husband arrested by Herod. And she knows what Herod has done to James. Chopped his head off. "My husband is being arrested. He's in jail. He's being guarded by four squadrons of soldiers." Herod has in mind the same thing for him that he had for James. Can you not imagine the trauma and the suffering that she must have undergone during this period of time? And we know, as we read further in the book of Acts, that Peter was released and came back. But she must have been devastated during this period of time. And you know, pain didn't only come from outsiders. It came internally as well. She must have heard the complaints against the Hebrews by the Hellenistics because their widows were being neglected in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. And Peter was one of those that was being criticized. And you know what? Don't you wonder if she was present when Paul withstood Peter to his face because he was to be blamed in Galatians chapter 2 and 11, and then rebuked him in the presence of all in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14. It's bad enough realizing that your husband might have his head chopped off by Herod, but then to have those that are close to you to criticize her husband because he wasn't doing his job properly. He wasn't taking care of those Hellenistic widows. And then Paul. Can you just hear Paul right now saying, "Peter, Peter, you know you're wrong. You're to be blamed." And in the presence of all such complaints against a husband are often, quite frequently, more difficult for the wife than for the husband. There's just something about that male characteristic. In many ways, we're like ducks. It just rolls right off of us, and we don't even think about the criticism. But women are so tender, and it breaks their hearts when the ones that they love are being criticized. You think about that. You think about the last time your husband was criticized, and he said, "Don't worry about it. It's nothing." And what did you do? The tears came down, and you just couldn't believe that someone would say something about that wonderful man that you're married to. And Sister Peter probably thought in the same vein as we would think today. And if she had not been possessed of a gentle and quiet spirit, she could have been disruptive to the peace of the congregation and an embarrassment to her husband. What's the first thing that you want to do when somebody says something negative about your husband? "I'm going to go straighten that person out and tell him he's wrong. I'm just going to sit down and let them have it with both barrels of my shotgun." But that's not the way Sister Peter was, because she had a gentle and a quiet spirit. There's just no such hint of misconduct from our Sister Peter. Paul's rebuke of Peter took place in Antioch. But as we noted above in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Peter? Which seems that maybe Peter's wife accompanied him in his travels in their later years. We rather like the King James translation that says, "Peter led her about." And I can just envision that, can't you? Just grabbed a hold of her and drug her along, whether or not she wanted to go. Well, I don't think that's the case, because here's this woman with a gentle and quiet spirit, and she was willing to be led about by her husband. That well describes what preachers often do, and Peter was no exception. The wife of a preacher is eager to serve where he is most needed, may well be led about into some pretty strange and unpleasant places. And you think about all of the foreign work that people have done. You think about our own Mike and Monica spending some 3 years in Brazil, in a land that they didn't speak the language when they went there. They lived on the economy, which is quite different from the way they would live here in the United States. And yet, she was willing to be led about by her husband in an area where he felt he could do some good. And I think that's the type of woman that Sister Peter was. She was willing to be led about. She was eager to serve with her husband where he felt he was needed. Some preachers, unfortunately, are prevented from going where they feel they should go because of a wife who is unwilling to be led about where she does not wish to go. And you think about the places that Peter went in his limited travels in Palestine. They were not always the most comfortable. They were not always the easiest, but yet it seems that she was willing to go with him, unlike, unfortunately, some wives today. But as I've said, apparently, Sister Peter was not such a hindrance to her husband. Well, in some final thoughts, enlisting important women in God's service, we may well forget about this gentle and quiet woman who lovingly supported her husband in the work he does. And I guess what I would say to us today is let us think about being gentle and quiet in our spirit and in supporting our husbands in the work that they take out to do, whether it's preaching the gospel or going to some place where the work is weak, but the willingness of the gentle and quiet spirit to go with that person is very, very supportive, and we find this reflected in Sister Peter. Don't be upset if you're known only as the preacher's wife, an elder's wife, or brother so-and-so's wife. Just remember that God is not unjust. He will not forget the work that you do and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them with that gentle and quiet spirit. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, we read, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward Him in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints." Gentle and quiet can be very profound, can be very supportive, can be very encouraging, and can lead others to Christ. Think about these things as you think about your role as a woman, as a mother, as a wife, or as a future mother, wife, or as a grandmother. How supportive you can be as you think about being gentle and quiet in spirit, and realizing that God will not forget all that you have done in that capacity. The lesson this morning has not been intended to stir the emotions of one that might not be a Christian. But if you should fall into that category, and you understand the gospel and the fact that God's invitation is open to all, and that you're willing to understand the simplicity of the gospel, that you're willing to turn away from those things that are of the world and embrace the things of the Spirit, that you're willing to confess your sins, to ask forgiveness, to confess that good name, and to be baptized, we would encourage you in whatever way that we can, or if you have fallen away and you need the prayers and encouragement of the congregation, would you stand now as we sing the song that's been selected.